Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to another Dr. Supercoach podcast. You're on this week with Pistol, and we have a very special guest as our interview, our second interview, and it also is the runner-up of Supercoach for 2021. So I'd like to know, Nico, tell us a little bit about yourself, who do you support, and how long you've been playing Supercoach for.
Hey, Pistol. It's good to actually put a face to the voice on the podcast. It's really cool to actually be interviewed by you and get on the Dr. Supercoach podcast. So thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
Just before I do, I just want to congratulate M Supercoach Mama again on her win. It sucks losing, but I'm glad I lost to someone who's kind, humble, and is truly a nice person. So well done, M. So a little bit about myself.
Glad you didn't lose to Cheese, eh?
It was looking like it at one point. A little bit about myself. Similar to you, mate, I'm a mad Collingwood supporter. Yes. So I have been my whole life through all the lows and a couple of highs. I've been playing Supercoach since 2014. I was surprised to actually see that it launched in 2006, so I don't know what I was doing for those 8 years, but probably losing a few brain cells out on the town.
Back when Collingwood was actually not too bad at football, so you're probably
maybe
more
yeah,
into them.
Going to the games and, yeah, enjoying life.
I'm sure this was somewhat enjoyable coming second.
No, absolutely it was, yeah. It's just COVID life is probably what I was referring to there. But yeah, my rank I looked up today was 26,136 in my first season, so I've managed to climb up a little bit.
just a couple. Yeah. And I mean, that's in terms of your previous ranks. Have you ever been, you know, somewhat up in that top 1,000, top 100 range even?
No, not at all. No, it's I've significantly improved this season. I don't know exactly what it is or how it became. I had a look at Nico Supercoach Data posted on Twitter something today about, or it might have been yesterday, everyone's, yeah, sort of previous results, and it's crazy seeing Dyslexia have 2 top 10 in a row.
Oh, unbelievable.
So that's, I guess that's the aim for me, is to not drop off the face of the earth and try and stick around that top echelon. But I reckon it might have been 5,000 or something last year, and definitely way further back the years before that. So, big improvement, sharp improvement.
It's definitely a big one. Did you do anything in particular differently this season compared to your previous seasons?
I started off really well, and I avoided a lot of the early carnage with injuries, and I managed to sort of only use about six trades in the first 6 weeks, and from that point on, it let me really be aggressive with my trades, and I think having that aggressive mindset of trying to finish my team as quickly as I could,
yeah.
This year, I focused on that rather than league, which I have been doing in previous years. So, trying to save my trades towards the end of the year and finish with a flurry.
Yeah.
So that was definitely something I did different, and look, it paid off, and I'll probably be using that same strategy moving forward, I dare say.
Well, you know, if it works, you keep going with a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, back to your starting team. I know I've got to go rewind. It must feel like forever. Feel like you've aged double in the last couple of weeks with the pressures at the top. But back up in February, when you were researching your starting team, did you kind of, were you more looking at players in their preseason and watching the preseason games and using that to select your starting team, a bit of the eye test? Or were you more looking at past history and data when choosing your players?
Probably focus more on past history and data. I don't think I watch too many preseason games. You can only sort of take so much out of it, I think. They're sort of going about, half-paced, trying a few different things, all that kind of stuff. I definitely try and absorb a lot of info. So listening to your podcast, listening to other podcasts as well, the AFL website, seeing who's flying during preseason, all that kind of stuff.
They're all flying. The trick.
You got to try and read between the lines though with a lot of that stuff. Just keeping an eye out for role changes, that kind of thing, which I think was huge. Like nailing those defenders that you could pick in the forward line this year in Supercoach was massive.
Yeah,
and I think like the top three out of the top six were defenders for total points in the forward line this year. So having them, I didn't have Dale, but having a couple of them was huge. And for me, it really is getting as much info as I can and then trying to decipher that and go with my gut really for a starting team.
So in your starting team, did you pick many mid prices, or did you go with a pretty tried and trusted guns and rookies type structure, or how did you kind of go about that?
Yeah, more guns and rookies. I try to stay away from the mid-price madness. I think you can just sort of get trapped in the middle and you can't really... It's hard to go either way after that if they don't actually perform very well. So I just try and stick to the rookies and the primos. Having said that, I did start Paddy Dow and Clark from Geelong, so I don't know if you count them as mid-price.
Yeah, probably. They're not that. I think they plagued a lot of us early on this season.
Yeah, and Dow, came back to form towards the end of the year, and Clark was definitely one that didn't work out. I sort of had pretty heavy defense to start with. I think I had four primos in the defense. I don't actually remember. Or have any visual of my initial team, so I've just sort of working on my trade history and memory. So I definitely had four primos at the start of the defense. It just sort of seemed like they were too obvious to pass up, and then tried to hit my rookies.
I think you must be one of the only people that play Supercoach when I said just go back through your camera roll. You'll have 100 different pre-season footy teams, and you're like, I actually have zero. I'm like, I don't comprehend what you're saying.
It's a bit hard when you've got a little girl that is basically your whole life, and you take a photo of her every single second of the day and a video of her, and your phone data just blows up. So, it's definitely... normally, I probably would have if I was child-free, but my phone's just absolutely chockers with photos of Zara, so...
Well, I mean, I can't blame you now. Now I feel bad for saying that. But so I know it's obviously hard to remember your starting team, but do you remember anyone in particular that you thought was like a really good starting pick or like your favourite one?
Probably for his consistency would be Jack McRae. It's pretty crazy, but like you bought him at 650K at the start of the year. The lowest he dropped was 621. And the highest he got to was 670. So I think, yeah, if you're going to spend that kind of money, that's what you're looking for, really. And I think, what, about 50-odd percent of the comp ended up finishing with him in their team, so...
Yeah, 53%. So is that something that you'd take into perhaps next year, maybe picking the midfielders that are more consistent and have less of a price fall and kind of avoiding more of the volatile premiums?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's probably key. If you can pick up a Clayton Oliver cheaper at some point during the year, which you could have done this year, I started Clayton Oliver and I don't have any, you know, qualms about starting him. He was great all year. There's definitely players, especially at that upper echelon. I mean, look at Lachie Neale this year. Obviously, injuries, has ruined his year, but you could have picked him up cheaper. So I think the main consistent guys like McRae, you just pay top dollar for. Maybe someone like Merritt as well from Essendon. I didn't have him the whole year, and I was the only person in the top 10 who didn't have him.
I did notice that. I think I might just quickly read through your team, just so we can give the listeners a little bit of insight. You had down back, you had Laird, Lloyd, Caleb Daniel, Whitfield, Ridley, Tom Stewart with Briggs and Bianco on the bench, so some nice cover there. In the midfield, you had Jack Steele, Jack McRae, Tom Mitchell, Clayton Oliver, Sam Walsh, Jared Lyons, and Bontempelli with what looks like Bramble at M8, Newcomb, Finlay, McRae, and Fife for the bench. You've got Gorn and Grundy in the ruck with Reeves on the bench, and in the forward line, you've got Hall, Zorko, Marshall, Degoe, Hawkins, Bolton, and Jay-Z on the bench, who didn't quite make it through the season, with Josh Tracy in the forward line. So I'm just guessing you had Bolton or something at M8 to end the year and just wanted to use Bramble in the last round.
Yeah, well, I was looping Bolton with Briggs, and that all came crashing down in round 22 when Briggs was out, along with Lloyd and Stewart in my defence. So that was the plan for M8, was to loop those guys, and I could also even play a Bramble if both of them failed on that. I had a really good system going, but unfortunately it all sort of came crashing down in round 22. That Bramble was definitely my cover, and decent cover, I thought, so I didn't have any objection playing him in the last round, but that was the only time I had him on field.
Yep, I think there may have been a few of us.
Yeah, it was when Jay-Z was out, so I swung Bolton to the forwards.
Yep,
and no, put Bramble on. Yeah,
makes perfect sense. So when you were making your starting side this year, did you take into consideration at all like the buys in advance, or are you more of a player that just thinks about it 3-4 weeks out?
No, I absolutely plan for the buys. I think it's an edge that you can have on the rest of your mates in your leagues, and I guess there aren't any league games, but if you're actually playing against your mates for overall or playing for overall, then yeah, it definitely is an edge. I even planned how many primos I have in each round, how many rookies I have in each round. And then I have I keep it up to date. Every time I trade, I update the little note section in the Supercoach app.
Oh wow.
So I keep track of it.
That's amazing.
It all sort of once again came crashing down with the change in the last buy round.
Yep.
I like to be organised. I like to do my research, and using that notepad, even though it's clunky as hell. You type it, and it just disappears sometimes and all that kind of stuff. But keep it back up, and structuring your team, the initial team. I still had an eye on the buys and what I sort of wanted to have during the buy period, so I could field a strong 18 sort of for each round.
How do you think did you achieve that goal? Did you manage to get through that very well, the buys? Was that one of your strengths of the season?
I'd say so, yeah. I went into it ranked number one, and I came out of it ranked number one. So I think that's pretty good, yeah.
Must have done something right then.
I did use a lot of trades though. It was just part of that aggressive gameplay that I had. So, I traded short to Jared Lyons, and I traded Petrarca out as well to Josh Kelly, so that wasn't a great one. But it got me an 18th player instead of fielding 17, so in that last buy round. But yeah, I might have gone a little bit over top trying to hold on to first place, I think.
And what did you do with Grundy? I know that was a contentious play for a lot of coaches, trading him out or holding him.
I got influenced in Zach Smith. I don't know how that happened. I'm trying to rattle my brain. Some really big influencer got me with that one.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't that bad. It got
me
points.
You scored Grundy on the way home.
I should have kept him.
Yeah, you should have kept him at R2 the whole season.
Yeah.
You would have had an extra trade in the last round.
Oh, there's 100 points easily right there.
There we go.
Trade.
We figured it out. The key was holding Zach Smith all along.
Yeah. But look, he did get me through the buys. So he got me points on field. And I got Grundy straight back in. I traded Grundy out to Bont. And during that period, I was banking 150 points pretty much every game. I think he was on a tear during that middle part of the season.
I don't want to tell you what would have happened if you picked Tuk Miller instead. So we'll just
just
walk past that one. I was going to ask though, before we jump into the M part of the season, in your lead up, you know, towards the buyers, right in that upgrade season, did you have any like really standout trade-ins that you think, you know, really contributed to your, I guess, meteoric rise from the top? Actually, I should ask, what was your rank round one rank? And then I guess when did you realize, now I'm doubling the questions up on you, but
no,
when did you realize, oh, I'm a chance?
Yeah. Let me just bring up my team. Sorry, just bear with me a sec.
It's fine.
I think when I got to 22nd, and that might have been sort of around 4 or 5, I think, I was like, oh, okay, I think I should really just be concentrating on overall and not on my leagues. So first round, where's my rank? I got 2,105 points, and so my round rank was 5,358.
And then what was round two?
Round two, I jumped up to 440.
Okay, so it was just like, that was one of your, you just pretty much were a straight up to the top type season for you.
Yeah, I just kept going up. Yeah, 197, 103. Then I got to 22nd in round 5 and 17 round 6, 10, 8, 4, 3, 1. Yeah, at the bye periods. I think it was just consistent scoring. That whole range of data there, I'm going in the 2300s the whole time from round 2 to round 6.
Well, was there, any particular players in that run, that early run that you traded in that really catapulted you up the ranks?
Yeah, it might have been the Danger injury. When he went down, I did a little bit of DPP and got a mid in. I got Sam Walsh in. So I think that was a big tick at the start of the year. He had a brilliant season. And I guess it's almost what you didn't do as well as what you did do at the start. So, I mean, I didn't have Neil in my starting team, so that was a big tick as well.
Yeah.
So people who had him were obviously feeling a lot of hurt, and then Danger's gone down, and then others have obviously gone down, and but I just sort of avoided that carnage, I think, as well to really get me up the ranks. It was just a bit of dumb luck more than anything else, I think.
I think you're being a bit too hard on yourself there. I'm looking at your trade history. It seems you've traded in a lot of players at their lowest price. Namely, you've got Zorko at 485K. In round 8, you got Caleb Daniel at 412,000, which is, you know, very cheap. But you jumped on him when a lot of people pretty much were jumping off him. Did you see something there in particular?
I don't know if I saw something. I think it was just the value, and I thought he could, if he gets back playing half back, he could get back to scoring well. So I don't really recall at that time. I just thought his price was too good to pass up, so I just jumped on him. I don't think it was anything regarding role or anything like that. Probably just needed a defender at the time, and he fit the bill.
I know you said you couldn't recall, which rhymes perilously close to your round 9 trade-in. Aaron Hall, 419,000 when you grabbed him. What was the thinking there? I know a lot of people online wanted to stay away due to his injury history, but you look like you've jumped on almost right at the very beginning when his ownership was less than 2%.
I did, and I'll give that credit to Dr. Supercoach and the Slack guys that sort of brought up his history of injuries, and it definitely was a selection where I said to my mates, pray for me, I'm bringing in Aaron Hall this week. it definitely did not feel right, but boy did it work out. I think you were on round 8 on him and spoke very highly of him in his role, the whole Bruce Free role, getting the ball off half back, good kick, long kick, meters gained, all that kind of stuff, efficiency. So yeah, he came in, and that was probably a pivotal move.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
To really get me up to number one and staying in that top 10 for the rest of the year.
So in your run home, I mean, you said you were basically, well, you were leading throughout the buys. Did you do anything differently knowing that you were, you know, in the hunt for the 50K that you probably wouldn't have done in other seasons?
I probably tried to hold on to the number one spot too hard and still traded maybe a little bit too aggressively to try and keep that number one spot, even though if I, you know, dropped down a second or third, you know, it wouldn't matter later in the year. I'd still potentially have a trade in the bank that is going to be worth, you know, a lot more to me at the end of the year. On the run home, with that round 22 struggles, I really sort of bombed that round. I had a lot of outs and I had a donut, and I tried a Hail Mary and I tried to hit a 200 VC. So I had it on steel and he was 96 at half time.
He was.
And then he was 100 at full time. And yeah, that was a dagger. So then I ended up having the captain on Oliver, who didn't really hit, but I just figured it was worth a shot. At that point, I figured I can't win. I might as well just try what I can. I don't want to die wondering. Like, I don't want to be, what if I did this? What if I did that?
Yeah.
So gave it a crack. Didn't work. Nearly worked, but...
I mean, you got pretty close.
Got close, yeah. Oh, there's so many what-if moments, like, during the year, like...
So you're still having those moments, even though you were like, oh, I'm not going to die wondering, but you're still wondering.
Thanks to Nico, your Supercoach data, I tell me I hit 39% of VCs. So, I mean, that's not what you want when you're at the top. Like, you want to be hitting more than 50% of VCs. There's so much, like, stress watching your straight-out captain playing.
Yes.
I definitely missed a couple of them. I had it on Bont. He got an 80-odd once, and Clary got a 90. And, yeah, I benched Sam Walsh against Geelong. Never bench him at the MCG is, I think, what I've learnt from that.
Yep.
So, yeah, that lost me 40 points by playing Brambles 120. So, yeah, all these little things that if you add them up,
no,
it could be a new car in the driveway.
Well, did you How did you come up with when to take a VC and when to roll the dice for a captaincy? Did you have a particular plan? I mean, you said you hit it 39% of the time, so I imagine your threshold was higher than maybe some other people's.
My threshold's 125, and it always has been. I think just from playing the game and learning from your past mistakes, it's kind of like, okay, that's my figure. That's where I'm comfortable at, but maybe I should change it to 120. But I don't think I had too many VCs that were, you know, 115 to 120. I think they were like 80, 90, and just obviously I need to pick someone else to be my captain. But yeah, 125 is my go-to number. I did change that once this year when Gorn was up against Collingwood, and I went, okay, I think that number needs to be more like 135 for this round. And he got outrucked by Max Lynch, so yeah.
And Nick Collingwood won, so you would never have predicted that. You have little faith, the Collingwood supporters.
Yeah, I've seen us go downhill too much this year, but anyway, I think a whole rebuild from the top to the bottom is on the cards from the looks of things.
So hypothetically, if McRae were to get a 124, would you not take it?
No, I would. I would. So it's just a guideline. It's not. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd take that. I was
instantly proven correct because McRae did score 124 for me in the later rounds and I didn't take it. And I got burnt with a sub. That was when Walsh got 81 or something like that. I got an 80 score as my captain for not taking McRae's 124.
I think M might have had him captain as well that round, and I was cheering because a little window had opened up for me.
Well, I mean, look, as I want to keep saying, the second is nothing to sneeze about. It's an absolutely fantastic finish.
So. Yeah, I'm proud of it. There's a lot of thought and time goes into it, and I think my wife is probably happy that I'm not half listening to her, and there's a lot of super coach strategy going through my head instead. So
is there anything major that if you could do differently? You know, have you thought about what you would have done? I mean, I'm sure you've thought about it. I mean, you came second. You're probably thinking about it nonstop since Sunday.
Probably stick to my. I've got my seven or eight sort of commandments for super coach. I should have stuck to my rules. One of them is no key position players, and I did that, and I brought in God, his name's escaped me. Hawkins, Tomahawk. Yep. I brought him in, and if I bring in Danger instead at that point, even though Danger's a little bit more expensive and he's going to drop a little bit more, I'll probably win. I'll probably win if I bring in Danger there. Hawkins goes on to get like 360s in a row, and then Danger starts popping off with 180s. So, but anyway, maybe like it's just sliding doors, really. That kind of stuff. I think I played a good game. It's really not having Danger was the one thing that sort of in the back of my mind was like, I don't have him. I really can't win this. It's just too big an ace up these guys' sleeves, especially when it sort of coincided where I had my poor weeks. Yeah. So I'd score like a 2200, and that same week Danger would get a 184 or a 169, and it sort of amplifies my poor weeks. So, but no, look, I think I played a good game. I don't think there's anything really too much I'd change. There's just little things here and there that, bit of good luck or a bit of bad luck.
I'm kind of interested in hearing some of your other commandments and, taking them as lessons learned into your next season if you have a couple more pearls for us.
I'm happy to run through them. I don't think they're anything.
Oh, you got them written down?
Oh, it's in my little notepad.
I'd love to hear your. We're going to call it Nico's Eight Commandments.
Yeah, okay.
Super Coach 2022.
Number one, never go early on rookies. I think I broke that this year, though, a couple of times. Take 60 plus for rookies when you're looping them.
That seems like a good rule.
VC, I got VC take 120 plus here.
120?
Yeah, 125 is in my head, so.
Well, now you're going to have to change that for next year.
Yep. Don't trade primos, minimum 2 or 3 week injury to trade. I broke that one as well, but that was towards the end of the year when I traded out Kelly.
Petrarca?
Petrarca. Yeah.
Geez, you're not really good at keeping with
this is one of my...
we're calling them not Kermit, we're calling them loose guidelines.
One of my things I'm looking to change for next year, I guess. Try and have a reliable bench playing option, dual position preferred.
You got that. You had that this
year. Yeah, I did have that this year. No key position players. I broke that with Tomahawk. Get as many rucks as possible is another one.
Well, you brought in Marshall. And
I brought in Marshall.
You kept Tracy. You brought in Tracy in round two, and you kept him for the entire season. So you really kept that rule.
Yeah. Even when he was getting 20s. I actually brought him in round two because I had a forward bench player who scored really well. I don't remember who it was, but it must have been a 90. Row. It might have been a 90 or 100. Yeah, Rowe might have got 100.
Yeah.
And I wanted that 100 on my field, so I brought in Tracy as a dead player. And at least he came back on and provided me a little bit of bench cover. He came onto my field once when CCJ got 5.
Wow.
And Tracy got 25, so yeah.
Well, yeah, it's some points. I'm pretty sure he had one points. Game that he scored really well in the byes.
Yeah, he scored well in the byes, yeah. So he was my 18th player or 17th player a couple of times during the bye period. So, yeah, he had his value, and then I thought he's not really worth trading out. He was part of my plan to get Danger back. So him and CCJ, I needed them to get to 300K each, and... That's the week they bombed. Yeah.
5 and 25, same round.
And that's the week that Danger got his 180.
Oh, no.
So it was just polar opposites in prices and just could not get him. And my last one is try and jump on form players if possible. It's a very vague last sort of rule, that one, but yeah, I don't know how you can really do that, to be honest, but I've written it down. So
well, in round 17... you jumped on DeGoey at 407K, so that's pretty much before, or 1 or 2 weeks before most people were seriously looking at him.
Yep.
Was there a method to your madness there?
Probably a bit of Collingwood influence, I guess. I was watching Collingwood games and I saw his role was predominantly in midfield and he was, pushing forward to rest and getting the occasional goal, so... Yeah, I'll probably watch you more Collingwood games than other people. Maybe I jumped on a week or so earlier. I wasn't worried about his court case or anything like that or outside influences. I just liked what he was doing on field. And probably at that price point, I think he was my last trade in before I sort of classified myself as full primo. It was probably his price, to be honest, as well, that I was like, okay, so he's a guy that could potentially be, an Uber premium at a really good price, and let's ride it home and see how it goes.
Well, that takes us very close to the last round. How are your nerves going into the last round? Maybe this round before the last, because it sounds like you said you conceded earlier. Before you had conceded, how'd your typical weekend go?
Pretty short with my wife, not spending a lot of time with my kid, on my phone the whole time, sitting on the couch, like just absolutely watching every single second of the game like a hawk, monitoring the scores. Yeah, look, I'm sure a lot of guys do it. It was next level stuff though. It's probably something that I could take. If it wasn't COVID, I wouldn't do it, but yeah, I don't know, when you're in lockdown and really there's only really footy on to keep you entertained and you're in the hunt for a major prize, it really took up, a lot of my life.
How was your stress levels?
Yeah, pretty high, yeah. Blood, had to go to the quacks for a bit, get the blood pressure checked and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, no, it was stressful. But I think I went into the last round knowing I couldn't win, to be honest. And ever since, Dangerous 21 opened the door for me. And Chris Mays laid out just helped me stay in the top 10. A lot of the top 10 guys have him. So they sort of matched my donut in round 22, which was lucky.
Yep.
And but yeah, actually quite funny because Nico from Supercoach Data messaged me during the weekend and said, oh, hey, mate, just, you probably know, but I just want to let you know that you've got a 0% chance of winning now.
Matter of fact.
Very matter of fact. And I said, oh, look, mate, I appreciate that, but I knew that last week, so that's all good. Yeah.
Well,
I was trying to tell them to celebrate, but she wouldn't listen to me. So
she sound, yeah, well, listen to her earlier on the podcast. You can catch it. It was out on our feed yesterday, and she was saying that she just wouldn't basically believe it until the last quarter of the last game, when they were like, look, it's actually mathematically impossible for you to lose right now.
I can understand that. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to hear the guy who's second telling you, oh, you've already won, you know, don't worry about it. They're probably trying to play mind games. I really wasn't. I really thought I had got no chance of winning this thing.
Were you surprised you held on to second?
Absolutely, yeah. Yep. I guess not having merit, not having danger. I don't know. I think I was really lucky. Yeah, to hold on. I said on Twitter, I was like a tiring racehorse. You know, I've just fallen in, and if there was another week, I'd probably, you know, slip out of the top five or something. But I think I got lucky in the last round with danger scoring low, and I really have to give credit to Caleb Daniel, because he kept me alive as a unique. No one else had him in the top 10, and his last sort of 5 weeks, 145, 128. I mean, his 55 wasn't ideal, but then 112 and 110. We didn't have many uniques. Em and I, and I really didn't focus a lot on the other guys until the last round, and my head was all over the place. I was just trying to work out who I needed to do well, who didn't need to do well. I ended up just messaging Nico on Supercoach Data and said, oh, hey, mate, can you tell me if I've got second or not? Because I'm freaking out here. And, yeah, you told me I had it wrapped up. So, yeah.
No, it's very exciting. So I guess I'm going to try and, while I've got you, tap into some of your wisdom for next season. Have you got your eye on any Supercoach players at all? Or is this just too soon for you?
It is a little too soon. I did have a little bit of spare time today and sort of had a look through the player database and see what kind of prices, you know, the guys might be next year. And
now you've got your entire side ready.
Yeah.
So you can lay out the whole list.
I got a little note. Dunkley could be a good pick, even if he does lose his DPP. I think he might be in the 400s or something. And if he's having a really good preseason and over his shoulder, 100%, which you think he would be, I think he just goes straight in. His scoring power is amazing. Maybe De Goey, in the forward line, you know, if he keeps his upward trend, could be worth the money. Other players like Butters, obviously, M touched on that on the other pod, and JB won't stop talking about him. So. Bruce might be number one ruck next year. I think the ruck line is going to be interesting. I don't know about Gaundy anymore. So maybe Bruce could be, you know, a sneaky R2 or something at 200k. And Taron Thomas, you know, is another guy that could be a starter if he's guaranteed midfield time. And one guy that I sort of think could be a good go would be Hunter Clark as well. Defense.
Yeah, I think so. Bryce Mitchell's priced him at, I think, like 240-odd K, so it's quite...
Yeah, good. Yeah, and he had, you know, broken jaw or something like that, or, you know, another, you know, unlucky injuries. So I think he's a frustrating player to own, but, you know, he could be one that starts the season really well and gets you that price to, you know, to sideways to somebody else, like a Ridley or something like that.
Kind of like CJ this year, just kind of exploded early on. I did notice you didn't have any, you know, CJ or Tex or...
No.
You didn't get any of those players. You're just slow and steady, as you said, Mr. Consistent all the way through.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why it was. I think I just tried to preserve trades early. Tex was one that I considered, and he would have been an easy... I'm sure a lot of people got an easy ride up to an Uber premium. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really recall what happened and why I didn't do it, but maybe I was pretty happy with my forwards or something at the time and thought he was an unnecessary risk.
Yeah, no, it was fascinating. Well, I think that just about wraps up the interview. I want to know, do you have anything else at all that you'd like to say?
No, just thanks to you guys. I'm Dr. Supercoach, and you guys, your content's amazing. Your advice is amazing. I love being part of the community. It's really cool. Everyone, I'm like getting a crack in my throat. I'm sick. I'm not crying.
I'm looking at him on Skype. He's bawling right now with tears.
Yeah. No, but thanks to you guys. I think, joining your community really, really helped me rise those ranks. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, I want to say it's been an absolute pleasure, I guess, riding this season out with you. And I know all the way back when we started our Dr. Supercoach and we got people to write in questions on our Twitter, you're one of the first people to always ask us questions. So it was when I realized that you were second, it was such a big thrill. I was like, oh my God, a long-term listener is coming second. And then first for quite a while as well. It was extremely exciting for us. So thank you for taking us along that journey with you. We definitely really appreciate it. And you know, we wish you all the best in 2022.
Thanks, man. I've relied on you guys, so that won't be changing in the future either.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in and listening. Don't forget, there will be some more interviews coming up this week, so make sure to check them out. And, we'll speak to you guys soon. Thank you.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.